Jesus. Ooh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. And you know, so many times we go through our trials and we go through our tests. The only thing that matters is His love. And boy, I tell you, if it wasn't for His love, I wouldn't go through the trials and the tests. Church folks might not love you like they should, but God will always love you. Amen. How many know God will always love you? Because His love is amazing. How many know His love is amazing? Come on and say His love is amazing. His love is amazing. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. We're going to sing this one more song for you. Hallelujah. His love is amazing. Thank you, Jesus. Oh yes, thank you, Jesus.
Yeah. amazing. God's love is past finding out. Amen. When we think of what we were and what God is and what God has brought us from, we know that God's love is truly amazing. Amen. No one else would have put up with us like God did.
Amen.
So we truly thank God this morning for being in the house of prayer. We just thank God for his kindness, his goodness, his mercy. We thank God for blessing my wife to continue to press her way. We thank God for all of our visitors and friends that are with us today. Amen. Can we all just say hallelujah?
Hallelujah.
Well, can we say hallelujah?
Hallelujah.
Even though the devil tried to keep us out of church. Amen. We still had a mind to be in the house of the Lord one more time. So today we're just so grateful for all that God is doing. You know, if I can encourage everyone to do anything, pray over the decisions that you make.
Amen.
Pray over the decisions that you make. Sometimes we get in the habit of just doing things because it's routine, ordinary. But there are some decisions that we make that could be critical. They could be for the better, or they could be for the worse. And the scripture said, we're going to acknowledge the Lord in all of our ways, and God will direct our path. The other day I was praying and just thinking of some of the unfortunate situations that happened in people's lives because they purposed what they were going to do, and they forgot to acknowledge God. You know what? God loves us so much. His love is truly amazing. So when we acknowledge God, God prevents things from coming upon us. Amen. But when we do what we want to do, those same things that God tried to keep us out of will come upon us. So it's so important that we develop a mind to seek God in some of our ways. All right, y'all got to talk to me. We got to seek God in all of our ways. And that's so critical. It's so important, especially in this day and time that we're living in. Amen. People will tell you they're with you always till the end, and then when things fall apart, you can't find them. But how many know we have a Savior that's more precious to us than all the worst friendships ever could be? God is that close. The scripture says he's sitting closer than a brother. So critical decisions, any decision, amen, acknowledge God. Lord, which direction do you want to have me to go? Lord, what do you want to have me to do? My wife and I, we counsel people all the time. Now, we never tell people what to do. We say, we'll pray with you and you decide what to do. But so many of those people have called and said, I wish that I would have taken a little more time before I made the decision that I made. Amen. Families are torn apart. Families are divided. Families are split because people make emotional decisions. It's so important that we learn to acknowledge the Lord in all of our ways. Amen. Pray about every decision that you make. Things that you're used to doing, pray about it. David is a man after God's own heart. He's our perfect example. David never entered into anything without first acknowledging the Lord. That's what makes us after God's own heart. We should acknowledge him in all of our ways. Amen. So many today have decisions to make. Many have directions that they're trying to figure out. Where should I go or how should I do it? Please, as Paul said, I beseech you, pray first. Amen. And so many times we have people that tell us, amen. Actually, if I had listened to some of the people that had told me, Agape wouldn't be here and I wouldn't be the leader of this church. Because pastor wanted me to join his ministry. He said, you don't need to pray about it. I'm going to tell you what God wants you to do. Wait a minute now. That ain't scriptural there. He said, I said, wait a minute, I got to pray about this. No, you don't have to pray about this. He said, I'm going to tell you what God wants you to do. Look, I'm going to give you a house, I'm going to give you a salary, I'm going to do all this, I'm going to do all that. I said, still, I got to pray. And guess what? God didn't tell me to go. And I'm just so glad that he didn't tell me to go because of all the great work that God is doing. So a lot of times, even spiritual people, even those that may be over you, will tell you they know what God wants you to do. The Bible says, let every man be what kind of persuaded?
Fully
persuaded. If you're not fully persuaded, then don't do anything. Can you say amen?
Yes.
Fully persuaded. You know, I said, well, I really don't want to do it, then don't do it. Because whatever we do, the Bible said, we ought to be fully persuaded. Amen. Just as a word of advice that the Lord laid on my heart, I don't know who it's for. Don't do anything without you acknowledging the Lord first. Let us stand for our scripture reading. This morning, which will be coming from the, well, this afternoon, morning is fast, will be coming from the book of Judges. We'll be reading the 6th chapter, verses 3 through 16. It's a lengthy reading. Judges 6, 3 through 16. We know it's the story of Gideon. Amen. This is about Gideon. When God saw something in Gideon that he didn't see in himself, isn't that wonderful? When God can call something out of us that we don't see in ourselves. Amen. Verse 3 reads, "And so it was, when Israel had sown, that the Midianites came up, and the Amalekites, and the children of the east, even they came up against them." So he had a host that's coming up against them. "And they encamped against them, and destroyed the increase of the earth, till thou come unto Gaza, and left no sustenance for Israel, neither sheep, nor ox, nor ass. For they came up with their cattle and their tents. They came as grasshoppers for multitude, for both they and their camels were without." That's a multitude. That's a multitude. See, they couldn't even count. It was so many of them. "And they entered into the land to destroy it. And Israel was greatly impoverished because of the Midianites. And the children of Israel..." Lord, I thank you. That's why we have to acknowledge the Lord in all our ways. When they were in trouble, they cried out unto the Lord. Can we say hallelujah?
Hallelujah.
"And it came to pass, when the children of Israel cried unto the Lord because of the Midianites, that the Lord sent a..." God always has a man of God to give you a word. So they're crying to God. God has a mouthpiece. How many know his mouthpiece are his preachers? How can they hear without preaching? "So he sent a prophet unto the children of Israel, which said unto them, Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, I brought you up from..." Has any of us been saved? Has any of us, God brought us out of Egypt? "And I brought you forth out of the house of bondage, no longer a slave to sin. And I delivered you out of the hand of the Egyptians, and out of the hand of all that oppressed you, and drave them out from before you, and gave you their land. And I said unto you, I am..." Lord, we bless your name. "I am the Lord your God. Fear not the gods of the Amorites, in whose land ye dwell, but you have not..." He said, "but you have not obeyed my voice. And there came an angel of the Lord, and sat under an oak which was in Ophrah, that pertained unto Joash the Abizarite, and his son Gideon threshed wheat by the winepress to hide it from the Midianites. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him and said, The Lord..." Ah, Lord, thank you when you can see something in me that I can't see in myself. He said, "The Lord is with thee, thy mighty man of the Lord." And Gideon said unto him, "Oh my Lord, if the Lord be with us, why then is all this befallen us? And where be all his miracles, which our father told us of, saying, Did not the Lord bring us up from Egypt? But now the Lord has..." Listen, God, saints of God, God will never forsake you. God will never turn his back on you. "And delivered us into the hands of the Midianites. And the Lord looked upon him and said, Go in this thy might, and thou shalt save Israel from the hand of the Midianites. Have not I sent thee? And he said unto him, O my Lord, wherewith shall I save Israel? Behold, my family is poor in Manasseh, and I'm the least in my father's house. And the Lord said unto him, Don't worry about all that. Surely..."
Yes, Lord.
"Lord, thank you. Don't look at your qualifications. Don't look at your resume. He says, Surely I will be with thee, and thou shalt fight the Midianites as one man." Let us pray. Lord, we thank you today. Lord, we bless your name for being in the house of the Lord one more time. Lord, as we are search every heart. Lord, search every mind in the name of Jesus. Lord, we ask you to send the word. Someone came in this morning seeking direction. Lord, send the word. Lord, someone came in this morning with troubled mind, troubled thoughts. Lord, send the word. Lord, somebody came in this morning, hallelujah, not knowing if they were coming or going. Send the word in the name of Jesus to heal broken hearts. Lord, send the word to set the captives free. Lord, send the word to open the eyes of the spiritually blind. Lord, send the word in the name of Jesus to open the ears of the spiritually deaf. Lord, send the word in the name of Jesus. So someone may cry out from the depth of their soul, where you lead me, I'll follow. And Lord, I'll go with you all the way. Now send the word to heal today. Lord, send the word to deliver and send the word to set free. And for this we thank you. Can we all say in Jesus' name?
Jesus.
Amen. You may be seated. Don't you want God to see something in you that you can't see in yourself? Yeah, that's my prayer every day. Lord, I hope you can see something in me that I can't see in myself. All Gideon knew was that he wasn't from a great tribe. All Gideon knew that he was the least. But as my wife said, the operative word, or the operative phrase in that whole scripture wasn't what he was, it was who was with him. Can we say amen?
Amen?
So many of us have disqualified ourselves from being a servant mightily used for God because we look at what we are and who we are and what we have behind us.
Yes.
The only thing that counts is if the Lord is with you. Can we say amen?
Amen.
Amen. So our topic, we're going to take it from this 12th verse. And the 12th verse reads, and the angel of the Lord appeared unto him and said unto him, the Lord is with thee. And because the Lord is with thee, he said, thou mighty man of valor. So our thoughts today is, the Lord is trying to wake up the sleeping giant in you. Can we say hallelujah? Gideon didn't realize that there was a giant in him. Amen. Gideon looked at him, you know, sometimes I believe in church, especially the apostolic church, we have the tendency to talk about what used to be. You know, people, we used to do this and we used to do that. Jesus Christ is the same
yesterday, today, and forever.
So what used to be ought to be the same because God has
not changed.
So the apostolic church used to say what they used to do. Amen. Well, God, if God has not changed, as Gideon said, where are the miracles? Where are the deliverances? Where are those that come in bound and should be loose free? So God has not changed. So Gideon was looking at himself through his eyes. That's why our prayer should be, Lord, I don't want to see myself like I see me. How many of us want to see us like God sees us? Come on, how many want to see ourselves like God sees? All Gideon can see is everything that I'm not. But God said, listen, the only qualifying factor that you need is I'm with you. Amen. It's like a lot of times, I tell them myself, they want to start Agape Apostolic Church. I'm a Georgia boy. They want to start a church in New York. But my heart was in Georgia. Yes, sir. So I was ready to go to Georgia. And several pastors and bishops said, well, the Lord wants you to start a church. I said, well, God didn't tell me. He's telling you. He didn't tell me. The Lord was purpose. I'm getting out of New York. Anybody purpose to get out of New York? There's a whole lot of you. I don't know already. Oh, a lot of people want to get out of New York, especially if our governor signing foolish bills and doing stuff. Everybody wants to get out of New York. So I wanted to get out of New York. And my pastor said, well, I believe God has a work for you to do right there in Troy. I said, well, I'm going to tell you the truth. The church I left out of, I promised them I'm going to start a work, so I can't start a work. So the pastor said, well, but did you talk to God before you said you want to start a work? I was like, no. I just said I want to start a work. He said, well, I believe God wants you know, those that were with us in the beginning know the truth. Amen. Now, we didn't get ugly, ugly, but we got semi ugly. Because they wanted to start a church, and I didn't want to pastor a church. Amen. And my wife didn't want to be married to a pastor. So y'all had two strikes. She said, I don't want to be a pastor's wife, and I didn't want to be a pastor. So after several of them kept saying, listen, I believe God wants you to do this. I said, you know what? I'm going to challenge you, but I'm still going to Georgia. That's what I told them. I'm still going to Georgia. So what I will do, I will run this church for you for 1 year. After 1 year, you find someone to put in this church. That was the deal. I mean, you know, sometimes pastors don't keep deals because this is 11 years later. But what I'm saying is this, that I didn't want to be here. Because I said, Lord, I can't be getting up every Sunday speaking to people. I'm going to be eventually saying the same thing over and over. So you know what I was doing? I was looking at what I had. I was looking at my abilities. I was looking at, I didn't go to no great educational school to be pastoring and teaching and preaching. But God said, you do it, and I'll be with you. And this is what God told me. He said, I have not seen, ear have not heard, neither has it entered into the hearts of men what I prepare for those that love me. God said, I'm going to do something exceeding great. I was like, Lord, can you do it in Georgia? I am not lying. I've been in New York since 1969. Down in West Point with my father, then at RPI from 1975 to 77. I was like, it's time for me to move on. But guess what? Finally, I said, Lord, not my will, but some of us I saw, not King Saul, but the Saul that became the apostle. Right. There's so many times that we're just set in our ways. We are determined to do what we want to do. I believe some of us need a Damascus Road experience. Saul was determined that he was going to bind everything that was calling on the name of Jesus. He had his mind already made up. But as he traveled, I'm so glad that I didn't start to Georgia because I didn't want no bright light not to be there. But as he traveled, the scripture said the light shone round about him. And the Lord asked him, he said, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? Now we know Saul was a Hebrew of the Hebrews. So he was ex-set in men an Israelite. So when he's speaking to the Lord, he's speaking to the Lord Jehovah, Yahweh. Amen. He believed that Jesus was an imposter. So when the Lord stopped him and everybody knew it was something out of the ordinary because the light was so bright, it blinded Paul, Saul. And he fell to the earth. And he said, well, who are you, Lord? He said, I am Jesus. Lord, thank you. So when the Lord gave Saul the revelation of who he was, now remember, he was set in his ways. He was determined to follow the tradition that he'd been raised in. But God had a higher calling for Saul. Brothers and sisters, I'm going to tell you today, whatever you're doing, God has a higher calling. God has a higher height to take you in. But Saul, when he realized that he was in error, and this is what happened to me, he said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? I wonder how many can say that from the depth of their soul without any reservation, without any doubt, without holding back. Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? And the Lord told Saul what to do, and how many know he was obedient? Amen. Amen. I believe today God has told many of us what we should do, but as we read in the scripture, the Lord said, I delivered you out of all of this, and I delivered you out of all of that. In verse 10, he said, but ye have not obeying my voice. How many have God spoken to this morning and you have not obeyed his voice? Now prior to this, Israel had been in rest for 40 years. Deborah and Barak had delivered them, but in their comfort, they began to drift away from God. So as they drifted away from God, it lets us know up in the first verse that they were under the oppression of the Midianites. And they served Midian for 7 years. Well, what happened? They were disobedient to God. God allows situations to come in our lives when we're disobedient to bring us back to God. So in their 40 years of complacency, in their 40 years of spiritual apathy, in their 40 years of serving God like they wanted to serve him, God allowed trouble to come. So they went from being a land of people that were wealthy to dwelling in caves and dwelling in dens and trying to hide from the Midianites. But they did have a presence of mind in their trouble. They cried unto God. I wonder how many today are in trouble, and I wonder how many are crying unto God. Now listen to me. Facebook won't give you no answers. I heard Bishop Johnny Skane say, you need to get out of Facebook and you need to get in the book. Can we say praise the Lord? So many of us are seeking spiritual answers in a carnal world. It does not work. Many of us are trying to get direction from God. I don't care how big Oprah is, Oprah can't lead you. And by the way, Oprah is New Age. So she don't even believe in Jesus. She talking about there's different ways to get to God. I heard Jesus say, I am the way, the truth, and the life. The only way you can get to God is by me, Jesus said. Jesus said, I am the way. So if I ever have a chance to talk to Oprah, I won't let Oprah interview me. I'm going to interview Oprah. Because I'm going to say, you got too many gods. I read one story, she said, a dog is a god. Her cat is a dog, a god. Her animal is a god. That ain't the God we serve. So Oprah could never question me. I could never be on OWN, the OWN network. Amen? Because I don't need nobody to take me more the wrong way. I need to go the right way. Jesus is the right way. And Jesus is the only. But this is the problem with Israel. They got so complacent that they were going away from God. How do you go from being in houses and being blessed that you're hiding in caves and dens? Amen. Because of the Midianites. So the scripture says that they cried unto the Lord. So the first thing God did was send a man of God to speak to their prayer. Anybody been praying to God?
Yes.
God has sent you a word. Yes, he does. Because the Bible says he answers every prayer.
Yes.
The problem is God has sent you an answer to the prayer, but it's not the answer that you wanted. So now God has you in a bad situation. He has you in a bound up situation because God has spoke, but you disobeyed his voice. Can we say hallelujah? And then we ask God, well, God, if you told me to do this, you told me to do that, why? God said, I didn't ask you to ask me. I'm the God of all creation. I don't need nobody to instruct me. He said, I don't need you to counsel me. I am the great counselor. I am the great deliverer. Hallelujah. So he's speaking to the children of Israel, and the prophet said, you're in this condition that you're in. Don't you remember how God delivered you? Anybody remember the day you got saved? Anybody remember the day God took your dirty, sin soul, washed it in his precious blood, and you came out right as snow? Can you remember how good God was to you? God said, I brought you out. God said, because you disobeyed my voice for 7 years, I allowed you to be in oppression. For 7 years, I allowed you to go through hardship. God said, for 7 years, I allowed this to go. So he spoke to them, but then he had an answer. And the answer name was Gideon. So the angel of the Lord went to find Gideon. Now Gideon couldn't even do the wine. He couldn't even thresh the wheat in the open because they were afraid of the Midianites. Because every time, what the Midianites did, let me fill this in for you. Every time that was harvest time, they didn't worry about them the rest of the time. Every time they had a harvest, the Midianites would come and take everything. Just take it all from them. So they had to hide in harvest season. So the angel of the Lord came to Gideon, and Gideon was hiding. I wonder how many of us are hiding today. And God is trying to reach you. So Gideon was hiding. And the angel of the Lord said, the Lord is with you. Then he said, because the Lord is with you, he said, thou mighty man of the Lord. In the Hebrew, that phrase, mighty man of the Lord, means the mighty, mighty, or the powerfully powerful. That's what it means when you put it together. So Gideon is looking and said, I'm mighty, mighty, and I'm powerfully powerful. God said, no, you're not, but I am with you.
Yes.
That's your qualifying factor.
Yes.
That's what makes you mighty, mighty, and that's what makes you powerfully powerful. Okay. And so Gideon, I'm not going to go back to the Bible. You'll see it. So Gideon said, well, Lord, if this is you speaking to me, I'm going to put a fleece out. Anybody going to put some fleeces out?
Right.
I'm going to put a fleece out. And if I'm going to put this bowl out, and if the dew is on the bowl and the ground around it is dry, I know it's you.
Right.
So God said, okay, since you want to test me, I'm going to give you that. So he did that. Gideon said, well, I want to be very sure. Now I want you to reverse it. God said, I'll do that. Because the fact is, what you're failing to realize, Gideon, I'm with you.
Right.
He said, no matter, he said, if you told me to take that mountain and put it in the sea, because I'm with you, guess what? I'll do it. So he said, there's no limitations on what I do just to prove that I'm with you. Can we say amen?
Amen.
So when Gideon finally, now I'm skipping some stuff, and you can read that in time. But when Gideon finally realized that the Lord is with him, Gideon says, okay, I'm going to go. So Gideon goes throughout all the tribes of Israel, and he gets 32,000 men. Now remember the scripture said there were so many Midianites, so many Amalekites, so many men from the east, they couldn't even be numbered. So Gideon said, well, at least I got 32,000, I have a chance. So God said, you forgot what I said. He said, I'm with you. So you got too many. Gideon said, wait a minute, I'm already outnumbered. Then this is our mindset. You know, like this, God has told you something. I'm already outnumbered, God. How can I have too many? God said, well, go tell everybody that's fearful and afraid to go back home. When he said go back, 22,000 went back. God looked at Gideon and he said, you still missed it, Gideon. Because if you go with these 10,000, you're going to think you did it. But I need you to realize I'm with you and I did it. Can we say hallelujah? So God said, now I want you to take them down to the river. And those that laugh like a dog, I want you to put them over here. And everybody else that don't laugh, they put their face down and just drink, you put them over there. So there were 300 over here, and then there was 9,700 over here. So get his help. I got the enemy. Set them up in three camps, 100, 100, 100, and surround the enemy. And Gideon's probably thinking, Lord, what's that going to do? We get ready to go fight a battle. God said, I still need you to see this, and this is us. I need you to see it's not what you're doing. I want you to just obey me, because I am with you. He said, I'm with you, and when you do what I tell you to do, I'm going to perform a mighty miracle in your life. So Gideon said, God, you've been right so far. Does anybody know God's been right so far? Give God a ring. Blow the trumpet and go back and get those other men that we just lost. You want me to blow a horn, and you want me to bring a picture? God said, because I don't want you to see through your natural eyes. I want you to see through your spiritual eyes. Because through your spiritual eyes, you're going to see the giant that's in you. If anybody remember when the Japanese bombed Pearl Harbor? The Japanese were just taking over everything. They invaded Russia, they invaded China, they invaded everything. But they needed the Pacific Ocean because that was the gateway. So they figured, now once we get to the Pacific Ocean, now there's a whole lot behind this that history don't tell you, but I don't have time to get into history. I'm just going to deal with this. So because they said 3 days before they bombed Pearl Harbor, they sent F.D. Roosevelt a message saying the Japanese were planning on bombing Pearl Harbor. Look that up in the history book. All right. But anyway, the Japanese needed that strategic point. And America had put sanctions, all kind of economic sanctions like they're doing today. So the Japanese say, you know what? We're going to go hit them when they're not expecting it. So they went and bombed Pearl Harbor, killed over 2,400 men. Then the admiral realized, he said, I'm afraid we have awakened a sleeping giant. He said, I knew we had a plan. He said, but America wasn't in the war. Now we just bought America in the war. And we know the rest of the story, right? They dropped the big boy on Hiroshima. That was a nuclear bomb. Killed over 100,000, almost 200,000. Then they dropped Fat Man on Nagasaki. And that killed another group of 100,000. After they dropped that, the admiral said, we have awakened a sleeping giant. It's time to surrender. Now, when God wakes up that sleeping giant in you, the enemy will surrender. Why? Because you won't be fighting your battles. God will be fighting your battles. You remember the story of when Jonathan and his armor bearer went against the Philistines? Amen. He was being led by God. He said, God, I want you to give me a sign, and if I get the sign, I know you're speaking. He said, when I go to the host of the Philistine, if they say, you stay there, we're going to come to you, he's going to say, well, that means you don't want us to attack. He said, but Lord, it's just him and his armor bearer. He said, but if we go and they say, come up to us, he said, that means you've given us the victory over these Philistines. And the scripture said, Jonathan said, Lord, it is nothing for you. He said, you can deliver by a few, or you can deliver by many. Why? Because the battle is not yours, but the battle is the Lord. So God is trying this morning, saints, to wake up the sleeping giant that's in us. But he can't wake up the giant because we keep going back to our natural man. How many know the natural man perceives not the things of God? Because they are not subject unto him. The scripture says, and neither indeed can be. So we can't get God's mind because we keep trying to approach God with our carnal mind. You will never, can we say never?
Never.
Come on, you'll never,
never
get the mind of God in a carnal way. The only way you can get the mind of God is you got to do it spiritually. Why? Because the Spirit searches into all things. The Bible says the Spirit can go where we can't go. The Spirit will search the deep things of God. So this morning, God is trying to awaken the sleeping giant in you. But God can't wake you up inside to fight the battle until you start seeing it through God's eyes. So you got to let go of yourself. Amen. The scripture said, if any man come unto me, let him first deny himself. I wonder today how many in church are so wrapped up, tied up, and taken up in self that they can't even hear a word from God. How many are so wrapped up, tied up, and taken up in self when something comes to pass, you say, oh, I knew God was speaking. Y'all have heard it, but I've heard it. I knew God was speaking, but I just, listen, if you have an ear to hear what the Spirit says to the church, you ought to be obedient to God. If you know God, thank you. If you know God has spoken into your spirit, don't let the devil in hell talk you out of it. Don't let your best friend talk you out of it. Don't let your mother and father talk you out of it. What God told you. They weren't in your prayer closet when God spoke to you. So they didn't hear the word that God spoke to you. God said, I have to step out on faith. When the Bible says God has not given us the spirit of fear, but love, power, and a sound. Well, I, the old thing, I'm going to do this, but I'm afraid. That's not from God. There's two spirits in the world. God's spirit is bold as a lion. The devil's spirit is full of fear. So many of us are disobeying God and obeying the devil because of fear. God said, you just move. And you don't have to worry about a thing. Just go. He said, you go. Even if you make a mistake, he said, I did that. And I'll make it. He said, well, Lord, I'm afraid I'm going to be in some rough places. God said, you don't have to worry. I'm going to be with you. I'm going to take the rough places and make them smooth. I just need you to be obedient. You know what we do all the time? Me too. God, I'm sorry. Me too. God tells us to do something, we try to figure out how God's going to do it. The Bible says, oh, the depth of the riches, the spoke of the wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable are his judgments, and God's ways are, you cannot figure out God. So God says, stop trying to figure me out. Just be obedient. If I say go, just go. Don't worry about what's coming against you. I heard them say, the power behind us is always greater than the past before us. And Jesus tells us, Paul tells us in Romans 8, if God be for us, who then? Now I'm going to stop right there for a minute. I want you to think about that. How many of us have it done for God because we keep looking at what's coming against us?
Jesus.
How many of us aren't doing for God because we keep looking through the natural eyes? The natural man will never perceive the things of God because they are what kind of discern? Spiritual discern. So we are approaching, listen, God's a spiritual God, right?
Amen.
Because God is a
spirit.
Spirit. They that worship him must worship him in
spirit and truth.
And so there's a whole lot of people worshiping the Lord in spirit, but they're not doing it in
truth.
And the scripture says the Father seeking such to worship him. So God is a spirit. My question to you is, how are you approaching God? Spiritually or carnally? You can never get a spiritual answer approaching God in a carnal way. I don't care what they said in Facebook, YouTube, that tube, other tube, this tube, black tube, white tube, YouTube, and all other tubes. They don't give you the answers. Can we say praise the Lord? Jesus is
the answer.
Yes. For the world today, above him,
there is no other.
Jesus
is the way.
Is the way. So many of us are in dens and caves, hiding and ducking. That spirit is not of God. That is not of God, saints. There's a giant in you. But God cannot awaken your giant till you realize that you are mighty, mighty, and powerfully powerful. Why? Because God is with me.
Amen.
God is fighting my battle. I'm going to use this last illustration. Asa the king had a great host that was coming against him. And he cried unto the Lord. And he said, Lord, we trust in thee. He said, Lord, we rest in your name. He said, let not man prevail over you. He said, Lord, we're trusting in you. If I do this and I fail, that means man won. But if I'm obedient and I do this and I win, that means you won. So he said, let not man prevail against you. Amen. How many of us are to the point that right now he said, listen, the old song said, till the Lord I come. Now listen, I want you to think about this.
Yes.
I know you have to shout tomorrow. Till the Lord I come, withholding
nothing.
Stop. Honestly, can you say from the depth of your soul that when you approach God, you're withholding
nothing?
Well, what does it mean to withhold nothing? I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercy of God, that you present your bodies a sacrifice had to be without spot, without blemish. It had to be perfect. Right? A sacrifice. So we're presenting ourselves to God, but how are we presenting ourselves to God? Is it in truth? Are we being honest? Amen. Anytime you misrepresent something, God knows the truth. How many knows that? Amen. God can say, well, you know, Pastor, I prayed and I fasted and I did all this. God said, wait, you fasted for 2 hours. You didn't fast. I prayed. Yeah, you said, now lay me down to sleep and pray the Lord my soul to keep if I die before I wake. God said, you didn't pray. If you want to pray, Jesus told him, he said, watch me. Watch me how I pray. And the Bible said in Hebrews the 5th chapter, he spoke the Lord with tears and strong cry. That's when you're desperate to get a hold of God. Most of us want to have all our sweet, dignified prayers, and we pray so quiet that we don't even know if we're praying or if we're awake or asleep. Seriously. But then we want God to answer us. You got to cry out to God. Remember, they when the Israelites cried out because of their impoverishment, God heard them. We got to stop being so pretty. Amen. You got to say, Lord, I need you. And I need you right now. Lord, I need you to move in my life, and I need you to do it right now. Amen. If I'm out in the middle of a million people, Lord, I still need you. And I need you right now. If I'm in church and I'm saying, you say, excuse me, brother or sister, I got to get a hold of God. I don't need you to hinder me. Lord, I need you, and I need you right now. How many know we're in our own way? God is trying to take many of us to another spiritual height, another spiritual level. And fear. I know Minister Simon sang that song, I'm no longer a slave to fear. I am a child of God. How many can say that from the depth of your soul today? I'm no longer a slave to fear. That means fear is controlling many of us. I am a child of God. But many of us are not a child of God because fear is on every corner. We won't do anything for God for fear of what might happen. There's a sleeping giant in every last one of us today. And God is trying to awaken your sleeping giant. But he can't wake it until you see things through his eyes. So the question is, whose eyes are you going to look through from this day forward? Will you look through God's eyes or will you look through your eyes? Dear Lord, I come withholding nothing, and I have but one desire. All